Scottish, but it still must not. So it's not, it's almost Scottish talk. Kind of. Potentially it's Welsh Scottish. Maybe.
Today's what, Tuesday? So it's the 30th of the 30th of
Yeah. You know. Shalom, are we kind of got to get back.
So we're holding where?
We're on again. The clock's on, but it's not on.
24A?
Good question.
Kuf Dalit, Muhammad Dalit. Am I right?
Kuf Dalit, Ahmed Aleph, or Mr. Paul. So we were learning. We're now in the end of this Mishnah, and the Gemara has turned to Agadah. Right? You can switch off your technical brains and switch on your Hashkafic brains for the Agadah section of the Gemara. Right? We're learning about the difference between the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael and the rabbis in Babel. So we just learned from Reish Lakish that Reish Lakish honored greatly Rabbi Meir. Reish Lakish was a person who uprooted mountains and ground them together in the study hall. Reish Lakish was a person of Gadol, who uprooted the highest of mountains and ground them together. Reish Lakish referred to him as a pekadosh, a holy mouth. Okay. So we're now on Kaf Dalet Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yoshaya. My Rabbi Yoshaya. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down. Two words in the end of the line. Aleph Chipchuk Reish. Amar Rav Asher. Rabbi Asher said like this. My dictive, what is written in Zechariah? Ve'ekach li shnei maklot le'chad karati Noam ve'lechad karati Choblim. So in Zechariah, you'll remember in your study of the book of Zechariah, it says over there, huh? Hashem remembers, because we don't. Hashem, right? Right? So you remember it says over there, a passage which says, and I took for myself two sticks, staffs, one called Noah, meaning gracious in the article translation, and one called Choblim, meaning terrorists. Meaning attackers, assaulters in the language of the old school, to attack, to assault someone, to be a chobel. Right? So, basically, in a nutshell, what we're talking about, Zacharias says he took two sticks. One's good and one's bad. One's a nice stick, it's called Noam, and the other one's a tough stick, right? It's not an unusual comparison. Right, we've got Shem of Mercy, Shem of Elohim. We've got Gevurah and Chesed. Two sticks. One stick represents the kindness. One stick represents the harsh Gevurah. Okay.
Let's ask a rabbi what a stick is.
A stick. Stick.
But is that what we use nowadays for a terrorist?
Mechabel, yes, from the same root. Mechablim.
So how does that Mechabel differ than like din? Strict judgment.
They're different. This is a different adjective. This is an adjective meaning to assault, to attack. And the word din is a word based on judgment. Yeah.
I mean, instead of being gracious, gracious and merciful, you would have attacking and strict din, strict judgment.
Maybe, yes.
The contrast.
All right, so that's usually the
We're working on it.
Okay.
A little too much work on.
More prayer, guys. Study harder. We need all the spiritual juice. Pull out the cold air from the pipes. Everybody, breathe in. Yeah, there we go. I felt a bit. Okay. Okay, so we're now going to explain that verse in the context of Osogya. Noam, the word Noam meaning pleasant or gracious. Eilu tamidei hachamim sheba Eretz Yisrael. Those are the tamidei hachamim of Eretz Yisrael. Shemaneimim ze laze b'halacha. That are gracious towards one another in halacha. Chovlim, the terrorists, who are they? Eilu tamidei chachamim sheba Bavel. They're the Babylonian scholars. Shemachablim ze laze b'halacha. That attack one another in halacha. So apparently the difference, if you went to a Beit Midrash in Eretz Yisrael, you went to a Beit Midrash in Bavel, you see a different thing. They'd both be learning Torah, but with it from a different way. In Eretz Yisrael, when someone makes a point, they say, oh, nice, I like it, it's interesting. I've got a different view, but it's very nice, I appreciate what you said. And in Bavel they say, no, you lie, you... Nonsense, that's rubbish, you don't know the law, I'll tell you what the law is. You break you, you there's a different way of learning.
Wasn't it okay, Rish Lakish?
Yes.
He was, either Hagiga or Tanis at the end where he wouldn't greet someone who was coming from Babel because they didn't make Aliyah. Am I close?
I don't recall. Could be 100% correct. I don't recall it.
Because the community in Babel didn't make Aliyah, so we're so upset with them.
Right. Okay. But that's different. I mean, I know it's different. Connected. There's obviously Babel has its problems. Galut. Right. Here we're learning. We're learning. Always learning on different levels. We're learning on the pshat level, which is just basically telling you some very interesting historical information, which is very interesting. But there you go. Apparently in Babel, they learned differently than they did in Eretz Yisrael. They attacked each other in the study hall in Babel. And in Eretz Yisrael, they were a lot more nice to each other. Fine, very nice. On pshat, 100% true. On deeper level, we're learning the difference between the galut mentality and the Eretz Yisrael, which is the geula, the redemption. Talmud of Eretz Yisrael is the Talmud we're going to learn.
That's why I brought it up, because it's so important in the Aliyah.
Right, so we have to realize now we're in the Babel school of thought, which is why we're still learning Talmud about Babel, even though we're sitting here in Ira Kodesh. Right, we're still in Babel, we're still learning the Babel way. And our way is probably a way of attacking each other. What? It means that? No, it doesn't. You're wrong. Right? So attacking, calling another person wrong, saying he doesn't know what he's talking about. So, those sorts of, whether or not we should be moving over to the school of pleasantness, don't know. Maybe we're at a stage that we can't learn that way. Maybe in Babel they had to learn by attacking each other, because that was the only way they were going to get to the truth. If they sat there and said, oh, that's a very nice point, I hear what you're saying, I take it on board, and you're not really going to get to the truth.
Didn't we cover earlier with Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 students or 48,000 students that they weren't giving each other covet and honoring each other, so
right.
they didn't make
maybe.
It?
Maybe in because they were living in Eretz Yisrael. If they were living in Babel, they may have been fine, so to speak. Right? In Babel, there was a different thing going on. So maybe in Eretz Yisrael you can say it wasn't appropriate. But Eretz Yisrael, what should have been at that point, is what the Gemara is describing, pleasantness of learning Torah, not the attacking one against each other. So it's a different way of learning. To attack one against each other makes the person very sharp. Right? They have to be very sharp, very on their toes to fight.
But doesn't it produce block is a better word, like arrogance?
It produces a lot of negative consequences, but one of the positive consequences is that it does clarify Torah. Because any you look for the holes in the other person's argument. Which...
Right, but there's a right way of doing that and a wrong way of doing that. With Rishikesh and... Who's his study partner?
Rabbi Yochanan.
I mean, they went with each other, but they loved each other.
Right. Well, they were in Eretz Yisrael. So maybe that's also why. Okay, so that's the passage in Zechariah. Gemara is going to give us some more examples of the same idea. Vayomer Eile Shnei Bnei HaYitzhar HaOmdim B'chodei. Okay, so this is all from the Sefer Zechariah. You've got the Torah or down the side, and you get the full breaks off here in the Gemara. But the pasuk continues with a few more words. It says, "Ushnaim zaitim." This is the full pasuk. "Ushnaim zaitim aleha," who are two olive trees. "Echad miyamin hagula vech." Nope, I'm on the wrong pasuk. "Vayoma ele shnei bnei hayitzar ha'omdim al adon kol ha'aretz." So the passage is, there were two sons of the Yitzhar, which is the oil, it's olive oil, which come from the olive tree. And then the next passage says, "Ushnaim zeitim aleha." Right, that's the next passage in the red. "Ushnaim zeitim aleha, chad biyamin ve'chad bi'asmo." There were two olive trees next to it. Right, so there the passage came from Zechariah. So the Gemara wants to explain drush from that. Yitzhar, what's the Yitzhar, the oil that we mentioned in this? Amar Rabbi Yitzhak, "Elu Tamidei Hachamim Sheberitz Yisrael." These are the Tamidei Hachamim in Eretz Yisrael. "Shenochim ze lazer b'halacha k'shemen zayit." That are as smooth or comfortable, easygoing to one another, like olive oil. "Ushnei zeitim alehan," there were two olive trees. "Elu tamidei chachmim shebavavel," these are the scholars of Bavel. "Shemurim zelazed," that are bitter to one another, v'halacha in halacha, kazayit, like a zayit. An olive is bitter before you make it into those things that they stick in a can. So, Todd, that's another example of scriptural allusion to the fact that it's tough being a student in Bavel, and it's much nicer being a student in Harrisburg. Okay. Right, we're not done. We're going to continue bashing away at Bavel for a little bit longer.
Rashi.
Mechablim, terrorists, just a little bit before halfway down the Rashi. The Lashon Ez, it's a Lashon of Az, Ez, it means stubbornness. V'chama, and heat, or anger, torment. Machshim Zela Zeh, they question one another, they attack one another. Ubnei Eretz Yisrael, but Bnei of Eretz Yisrael, Nochim Yachad, Ima'anyanim Yachad. They were comfortable together and they were Ma'anyanim Yachad. They looked into things together. Umtakenza Zeh Ed Divrei Zeh. And this one would correct the words or fix the words of the other one. Vashmua Yotzela'or. And the teaching would come to light. So they would do it a different way. So there's two ways of learning. One is to be makshin. Makshin is to question. What are you saying? How can it be that? But wait a minute. Wouldn't this be the case? That can't be right. Right? That's questioning one to each other until you get the answer. That's the way of Babel. But the way of Eretz Yisrael is they sat together and they looked in it together. And one and corrected or fixed the other one's words. So the other one would say, maybe it should be like this. And we say, yeah, maybe also we should add this. A different way of learning until the correct answer came to light. Also, interestingly, the uses the word Yotzeh La'or, comes to light. The Talmud we're going to see later on in the next little piece, maybe just after it. The Gemara of Babel is compared to darkness, and the Gemara of Eretz Yisrael is compared to light. So there we go. Okay, that's that. Next. Ve'aseinai ve'eireh ve'hine shtayim nashim yotzot v'wa kanfeihem. Ulahena kanafayim kanafu Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh treat. Oh, Hashem, thank you, Hashem, for all the kindnesses He does for us. Now we just need one of those. Look over here. Yeah. And then we've got Gula. So, that. Yeah. Still in Galus over here.
Is it going to be cool?
Yeah,
there's a little.
What's the weather going to be like today?
It's going to be 34, 35 today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
So I think it's still, even though that's weak spot, that's better than having the windows open. I think.
Yeah. It's only going to get worse during the rest of the day.
That's good. I don't know about that one. But yeah. Not very fast.
So it's good to have light. Yofi. So again from Zechariah, it says like this. Vesayanai ve'eireh hinei shtei nashim. I lifted up my eyes and I saw two women. Right? Yotzot. Yeah, but right. Fortunately, they weren't real women, they were angels. He wasn't looking at women. Fortunately, they were angels with the form of, right? Yotzot v'ruach kanfeihem, and wind was in their wings, right? They had wings. So from here you can tell that they were talking divine creatures. V'lehena kanfeihem kanfeih v'chasida, and they had wings like the wings of a chasida. V'tisne et ha'efa. And they lifted up the Eifa. Let's see what these things are in a minute. Bein ha'aretz ubein ha'shamayim, between the earth and the shamayim, and the heavens. Okay. So the chasida in one he was a stork. Huh?
I'm sorry, what?
A stork. The thing that brings the babies in its beak. They don't really. Just in case anyone. I'm on a tape now, so I don't want him writing in and saying, wait a minute.
Are there storks here? I mean, they migrate?
Up north.
Now
they don't.
Are they
migrating? Yeah. In the Khula Valley.
That's what they go to Africa.
Yeah. It's very beautiful. You see them in the sky. They have huge numbers.
Yeah, because I was at the Trusen Bird Observatory, wonderful place.
Yeah.
And they have a list of all the birds that migrate.
Yeah. to the up north in the Golan, in the Hula Valley. Uh-huh. They have a very nice national park. You can hire bicycles, you can hire a little golf buggy, and which, depending on how hot it is, if you do that, you should know that there's absolutely no water on the route. There is no water in the entire route, which is quite a big route.
Except for the birds.
So, anyway, back to our topic in hand. So these women had wings of a chassidah, whether or not that actually means chassidah that we know of, or a different type of spiritual chassidah. I don't know. But anyway, they had wings of a chassidah. They lifted up an eifa method. An eifa. What's an eifa? Eifa is a measure. An eifa is a measure of...
You mean like a dry measure? Like a log of barley?
Let's see if our article glossary tells us what an eifa is. Eifa. A measure of volume. Interestingly, our article in the glossary spells it differently than our scroll in the text, but there you go. Because my tin is telling. Efa, it means a measure of volume equal to 3 seah. Now the question is, what's a seah? Let's look at seah.
A
seah is 6 cab. So now we have to go and look at what a cab is. Cav, where's Cav? Kofair, Kinyan, Cav, for Lugin. So now we have to go and look at what a Lug is.
Isn't that a log?
A Lug is a log, could be. Can't confirm. Log, Lugin, yes. 6 eggs, Yofi. So now we've got 6 eggs is a Lug. 1 cav is 4 lugim, that's 6, 4, 24 eggs. 1 seah is, what do we say it was, 6 cav? I think we said it was 6 cav. LMNOP. Seah, 6 cav. So that's 6 times 24 is 620s, 6 2s are 12, 120, 6 4s, 24, 144. That's 144 eggs. Is a seah, and we've got 3 seahs in our eifa. So 144 times 3? 432. 432 eggs worth is 1 eifa. There we go. Yoffi. Wonderful. So what? It's important to know. I know, it'll all come up later in life. You'll need to know it. You have a test. I know what it is. You'll be the only one in the class.
That's close to a gallon.
Close to a gallon? Yours. Close to a gallon?
No, sorry.
No, I know. I don't know how many eggs in a gallon.
5 gallons.
Never checked.
The eggs, the time of speaking.
Yeah, also, yeah. I mean, how much is an egg is always a whole big thing by itself.
Maybe then you take your straws.
Okay, so a biblical egg is an extra jumbo.
Yofi. Anyway, Tom, that is the measure that they lifted up between the earth and the heavens. V'omer, right, we're still in Zechariah. V'omer el hamalach. And I said to the angel, Hadaver bi, that was speaking with me, Ana hema molichot et ha'efa. Where are they taking the efa? V'omer elai, and they said to me, or he said to me, the angel, then it's just now become a man, to the woman, but he said to me, Livnot la beit bayit ba'aret shinar, to build with it a house in the land of Shinar. The land of Shinar, by the way, is Babel. They're building a house in the land of Shinar. Right? What it exactly all means and refers to? We don't really have a full translation here. But let's just finish the Gemara, what the Gemara says about it. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. So Rabbi Yochanan says the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Zeh Hanufa, the Gazut HaRuach, Shiyardu LeBabel. This, that they took that the angels took to Shinar, which is Babel. So this represents the Hanufa and the Gasuta Ruach. So Gasuta Ruach is arrogance. Hanufa, here translated by Art Scroll, is sanctimony. I don't know if that's the oh, there's no rush on it. So we'll go with Art Scroll's translation, sanctimony and arrogance that descended to Babel. Right, the angels were taking the arrogance and sanctimony over to Babel. Right, that's its home. We know that the 70 nations all have their own specific traits. Right, so how did they get them? Because God gave them, Hashem gave them. That is in Masechet, don't remember. It is in one of the Masechet. No, I can't remember which one. It is in one of the Masechet in the Gemara, where it explains what doesn't explain everything, but it explains certain traits which were given to each nation and to each people. Right? Women, for example, were given 10 measures of the 10 measures of speech were given to the world, and 9 were given to women. Right, for good reason.
Okay.
They pray a lot. Right? That's what they do. If anybody asks you, that's the reason.
So they're referring this to Kiddushin. So here, 49b.
Kiddushin, there we go. So it could be well timed. If you look in Kiddushin 49b, you might well see the list of the other things that were given into the world.
Yeah, I can't make that the bottom.
Right, you should know that the Gemara says over there that 10 measures of znut, of immorality, were given to the world, and 9 measures were given to the Ishmaelites, our cousins down the road. And some people might say that, well, it doesn't look like to me they actually look very sneers. They're women dressed in full head to toe, and, you know, it doesn't look like they have such. But you should know it's not true at all. Someone was telling me that he knows someone who used to be Muslim, and a woman who converted to Judaism. And when she converted, she explained that the entire population were with one another. It was infidelity was just like the standard, the norm. She expected when she came to Judaism, she expected that that's what was happening in Judaism, because that's what men do, apparently. Because that's what she'd learned, and that was the norm. Right? And she was surprised to learn you should know that that's what's going on under the scenes. It looks, all looks very sneers, and everyone keeps separate and whatever it is. I'm actually not like that.
Well, don't they normally have 4 wives?
Tov, anyway, so in this case, Hashem is teaching us that the sanctimony and arrogance was taken to Babel. The one questions that and says, wait a minute, but didn't we learn? We learned something different. Wait a minute, Gasut HaRuach, arrogance to Babel, did it go? Arrogance really go to Babel. We learned differently. Mara said we learned in a different teaching, different master. Asara kabin gasut yardula olam. 10 measures of arrogance came into the world. Tishanat la elam ve'echat kol ha'olam kula, and 1 to the rest of the world. So 9 measures went to elam, and 1 to the rest of the world. Where's elam? So it tells me here that elam is Persia, and not Babel. There's a difference between Babel and Persia. Right? Anyone who watched the Gulf War will see that there was a lot of arrogance carrying on.
So Persia,
we are defeating the American infidels. We have taken over New York already, etc., etc. Yeah, yeah.
So
they have a lot of arrogance.
Persia is Iran.
Iran, Iraq, yeah, somewhere. Around. Okay, well, we've got some more. Okay. So that's a question. Wait a minute. Do we learn in different Mishnah that it went to Persia and not to Babel? So the Gemara says, true. Yes, you're right. Lebabel nachit, it did go to Babel. The Ishtar Borve, the Ishtar Bal, Leila. But it then moved on to Elam. Originally, it did come to Babel, like Zechariah saw. Zechariah saw in his vision that the angels were taking arrogance to Babel. But later on, it went to Persia. So both of them are correct. Right, and the Gemara now bring some evidence for that. Daika Nami, you can learn it, Daika, Dafka, specifically from the verse itself. How? Dictive, because it's written, Livnot la bayit be'eretz Shinar, because it's written, to build a house in the land of Shinar. Livnot la, to build it. Shmamina, learn from here. So the commentary here on how to understand that is, because it says to build it, it means that only one of the two women who were bringing the measures of arrogance stayed in Shinar, and the other one didn't. So because the other one didn't, we can assume that the other one left, and when she left, she took with her the arrogance to Persia.
Nine
measures.
Yes. So one was nine, one was not?
Don't know. It's not clear. So what stayed in Babel and what didn't? Apparently two angels. One to take to Babel, and then the other one to take it on to.
Didn't take the nine.
Or maybe took
so
it all.
Of course, the angel had only one message.
Don't know. Let's see the Rashi saying it. If not la bayit, volokativ lahem. Alma ha'emet. Sorry, afat. Lavada. Nichashba sham. Only one of them stayed there. Actually, she says, we learn from this that only one of them stayed there. Apparently, from the fact that only one of them stayed there means that the other one left and took with her at least some, we don't know how much, of the arrogance to Elam. Apparently 9/10, because the Pasuk says 9 out of 10. So maybe left 1/10 in Babel. Okay, let's carry on. We'll finish to the end of the Gemara. Va'amama, but the master said, Siman legasut haruach aniyut. There is an indicator, a siman that you can tell for arrogance, and that is poverty. Right? Where you see poverty, you see it's an indicator. Arrogance is the indication of poverty. Poverty is the indication of arrogance. Arrogance is the indication that there is poverty. Okay, let's move forward, see where that goes. Va'aniyot le'Babel nachit, and poverty also descended to Babel. So what does it want to say? This is a question on the previous Gemara. The previous Gemara said that arrogance did descend to Babel, but then it left and it went to Persia, went to Elam. But now the Gemara says, so wait a minute, we see that poverty, the arrogance is a sign of poverty, and we know that Babel was very poverty stricken. So it seems that the arrogance stayed in Babel because they also had poverty. So the Gemara says, my aniyot, what is the type of poverty we're talking about in this siman, that arrogance is a sign of poverty? Aniyot Torah. It's aniyot in Torah, poverty in Torah, not poverty in wealth, monetary terms. It's being poor in Torah, and that's what.
Huh?
person who's arrogant, it means that they have a lack of Torah. They're, even though, which is true, we see, that they don't have real Torah. They might know stuff, might say they know stuff, but they don't have yeah, but so then knowledge, but knowledge doesn't necessarily mean Torah in this context. And they haven't acquired Torah. To acquire Torah, to have that Torah, is to that means awareness of God. You can't have that with arrogance, they don't go together.
No, okay.
So you can have knowledge. Not even no, it's not understanding. It's that means that that you know it comes from God. So a person who's arrogant, he doesn't have Hashem. So he's lost that part of it. So even though he has knowledge, it's God's, and he doesn't have that, so he doesn't really have Torah. He's still got Aniyut in Torah. Okay, why do we know that? Dichtiv, because it's written, Achot lanu ketana, v'shadayim ein la. Our sister is young and she does not yet have breasts. That is written in Shir HaShirim. And that is an allegory for Torah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said about this. Zu Elam. This is Elam, right, which we said in Persia. Shezachta lomod v'lo zachta lelamed. Who merited to learn, but they don't merit to teach. My Babel, what is Babel? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Belula b'mikre, Belula b'mishnah, Belula b'talmud. Belula here has two different interpretations. The one that Art Scroll go with means saturated, full of mikre, full of scripture, full of mishnah, and full of talmud. Alternatively, Belula can mean confused. And then it means that their Torah, their Mishnah, and their Gemara is all confused. Which, that's what Babel means. Babel comes from the word Lababel, to be confused, Bilbo, right? Which is maybe a better one. Why? Because and the Gemara now finishes with something that kind of corroborates that, which says, Bamachashin, Hashivani, Kameti Elam. He's placed me in darkness like the eternally dead. Amar Rabbi Yirmaya, Zeh Talmud Shel Babel. Rabbi Yirmaya says, this is talking about the Talmud Babli. Right, so the Pasuk that that's from in, what's that? Kohelet? Lamentations? That says that I'm placed in darkness. So what does it mean to be placed in darkness? So Rabbi Yirmaya says to be placed in darkness is the Torah Babel. It's this. We're in darkness. We're walking around in darkness, trying to find a light. It's different. Right? And whereas in Eretz Yisrael you're bathed in light and you're trying to define the light. And the difference. Right? If in darkness, when you see a light, it's very powerful. And in Babel, when they learned Torah and they found the light, it was very powerful in the midst of the darkness to have the beautiful the light of Torah in the midst of Galut. Right, that was terrible Galut. Right, but here in Israel, right, we're in light. And Hashem's everywhere, right? So we're learning Torah. It's not such a right. So our job is to actually define. Even the light within the light, right? This is light. You know, I've had a tour all around me. If you're sitting in the middle of, I know, Poland, right? Trying to look, right? When everything around you is spiritually dark, and you're learning Torah, it's huge.
Is that the analogy of was it Rob Laser Brody saying you're used to a 50 watt light bulb, and suddenly walk in and you get a 1,000 watt hit by a 1,000 watt light bulb? You can't handle the light. You need to grow into it.
Yes and no. Here we're talking about the contrast between Babel and Eretz Yisrael. In Babel, it's all dark. So when in any darkness and you have light, it's very powerful and it's very useful, and it's so the learning there gave them a specific type of light. And in Eretz Yisrael, there's already, this is the light, right? So it's like there's an analogy of someone walking around with a candle on in bright daylight. It's very nice, but it doesn't do a lot, right? So Torah in Eretz Yisrael is more akin to having a candle in the daylight. You don't notice it so much. There's a different thing going on. There's a different in the Galut. We needed a Torah to illuminate us, to bring us close to Hashem, to give us a spiritual light because we're in darkness. Now in Israel, we're in the light. So now our Torah has to be a different type of learning, which is why we're still learning Talmud Bavli because we're still in darkness, so to speak. In some ways, yes, right? But we're still learning that type of learning, where we're living in darkness and we're looking for the light. We're looking for that. And that's the difference between the two types of Torah.